Okay, who has a song they'd like to sing this morning? Yes. Number 14. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Someone start that for us, please.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace and power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood?
Okay, let's pray, and then we'll sing one more song. Our Father, we just do look to Thee for help this morning, and a blessing, as the very Word of God is open. We just do thank Thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, who can wash away our sins, that Savior of sinners. And we just do and pray in His name. Amen. Okay, yes, thank you. You want to give me a name of a song? Can you give me a name of a song? Number 5, Happy Day. Does that sound good? Okay. And someone can start it, please. And then when we're done with this song, we'll say our verses for the week, okay? nice. Now, we're going to say our verses. But before we do, I came in just a little bit before this meeting started, and I put these up on the wall. And maybe if you're way back in the corner there, it might be a little more difficult to see. But let's see if you can figure out what we're going to talk about this morning. If you do figure it out, you're going to be wrong. Even if you figure it out, you'll still be wrong. Okay. Who wants to start with the verse? Philippians 4:19. Is that what most of us learned for the week? Or since it was conference time, you didn't learn the verse this week? Okay, who knows the Bible verse? Someone know it by memory? No? Well, this one's honest. Okay. Do you know the memory verse for today? It goes like this. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's not an easy little short one. You know it? No? Well, you know it? Well then, maybe we should go to some of the second and third rows. Did you happen to learn it? No? Okay, well, it was the memory verse, whether we memorized it or not. Yes. Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. Have you learned it pretty faster? Did you get it yet? Got it? Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Well, see, I get it. It's Sunday morning, and it's time to go to Sunday school. And so y'all get in the car, and Mom, what's the verse for this morning? And then you learn it. Am I right? Probably. Okay, go ahead. My God. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Right. Thank you very much. Okay. Anyone else? Got it yet? You got it? Riches of His glory. Which is in glory by Christ Jesus, yes. Okay, thank you. Okay, anyone else? Let's see. Have you learned it? No? Okay. Okay. Well, this was the memory verse. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches. In glory by Christ Jesus. His riches. It's not dependent on us. It's not dependent necessarily on how good we are, but it's His riches in glory. And that little theme is going to come up in just a couple minutes from now. Why don't we see what I had planned to talk about this morning? Let's see. Did anybody figure it out? Yes. You're going to talk about blood? Well, I think I'm going to mention blood, but that wasn't my subject. Howard. What's the subject going to be? Can you see that? Okay, we have a mystery going here. Yes. Creation. Very good. And yes, we will talk about that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days of creation in Genesis chapter 1. The very first part of the Bible. Now, do you think the first part of the Bible is important? Yes. Do you think the middle part of the Bible is important? Yes. Do you think the end part of the Bible is important? Yes. But we're going to start at the beginning. In fact, we're going to start right with number one. How's that? But you know, that isn't what I really want to talk about. Though I probably will spend most of my time talking about it, there's something else that is much more important. So we're going to read a little verse in the book of Proverbs. And you've all heard this verse before. And it goes like this. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there's a verse almost exactly like this in the book of Psalms also. And there's something that's pretty close in the book of Job. So God says it three times at least. I think it's three times. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's also the beginning of knowledge and of understanding. The fear of the Lord. And when we're done this morning, I want you to know what the fear of the Lord is. When we're all finished here, wants you to know what the fear of the Lord is. So, let's start at the beginning. What is fear? Can you tell me what is fear? Have you ever been afraid of something? Never been afraid of something. You are a remarkable person. Very remarkable. Yes, have you ever been afraid of something? You know what fear is, huh? Yeah. We all know what fear is some way or another. Have you ever been afraid of something? No? We have quite an audience here. Very special select group here. Have you ever been afraid of something? Yeah. We're all afraid of something. We're all afraid of something. We all fear something. We do. Sometimes we fear being alone. I know that I was alone when I was a little one and I looked all over the house for mom or dad or my brothers, sisters. Nobody there. I was afraid. It wasn't fun to be all alone. No. Ever been afraid of the dark? Yeah. Been afraid of the dark. Now, let me tell you something that some of you that are younger might not quite understand, but get the idea that darkness, nighttime, has been the greatest fear of humankind for thousands of years. It's a danger And we don't know what that means because we got street lights and we have lights in our house and we have lights on our cars and we have even lights on our bicycles. And we've got lights all over the place. And we don't know what it's like to be dark. But the greatest fear mankind has been darkness. You might fall in a hole, you might trip over things, an animal might be lurking behind you, ready to jump on you. All kinds of things to make you afraid in the dark. The greatest fear of humankind has been darkness. You know, we're all afraid of something. And the Bible says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom. Now, you know, what's wisdom? That's a pretty hard one. That's a pretty hard one. But sometimes we say, knowing what to do. That's to be wise. I know what to do. You go to school, and it's time for a spelling test, and so you've gained a little bit of wisdom, and you know what to do. You may not know how to spell the words, but you do know what to do. You have some wisdom, so you pull out your sheet of paper and your pencil, and you listen to the teacher say a word, and then you're supposed to spell it out. And so you know what to do. And so you have some wisdom. But wait a minute. This isn't making sense. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord? You know, remember that we all fear something, and we do. Whether you're sitting here in the front row, or if you're sitting on the second row, or the third row, and on back, we all fear something. We do. And the Bible says, drop all of those fears and fear God. And you know what? The word for fear God is just exactly the same word as being afraid of the dark. It is fear. And I'd like to say one other thing. Sometimes we might be afraid of God in this way, that we're afraid to do something wrong. Or we have a certain fear to motivate us to do what's right. But you know what? That's not quite the idea in the Bible. Because that kind of idea puts me at the center and says, well, if I do this and I do that and I do this and I... No. God is the center. Fear God. Fear God. That's right. Now, I want to give you some good reasons to fear God with a smile. We so often think if we're afraid of something, we want to curl up or we want to turn around and run or we want to go hide somewhere. But that's not true with the fear of God, and we are going to talk about that a little bit. Okay, that was pretty good. That's more like a game, though, right? And play a little bit of hide and go seek. Yeah. Does it work to hide from God, though? No. Okay. So we might not try that. So we better figure out something else. Let's look at the wall here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The days of creation of Genesis chapter 1. Let there be light. Let there be light. And then God talks about the air and the water. Things that tend to move around. say air moves around? Well, sure. Didn't we have a lot of wind last night? Last night? Whenever. With the rainstorm? Yeah, you got all kinds of things moving. You have wind moving. You have the water falling out of the sky. We call it rain. And then we have things that are solid. Well, we think they're solid, but close enough. Do we believe that God created the world? Do we believe that God actually created everything? Look out the door here. Because see, the things in here, somebody made the carpet, somebody made the chair, somebody made your shoes, somebody made your hat. You say, well, God didn't make those things. Look out the door, though, and you see some trees out there. What? Yeah, there's woods out there. Yeah, there's probably some animals out there. You know, God made those. God made those. Do we believe that? Now, did God do a good job? God did a good job. Yeah. Now, isn't that the kind of person that if you had to fear something, that you'd like to fear someone like that? Someone who does a good job. Yeah, I'd say so. Now, darkness has been something that has been scary to mankind for a long, long time. Wouldn't it be nice to know somebody who could make light? It'd be really nice to know somebody who could make light. Would you like to fear that kind of person? Oh, yes. Definitely. This, we're on the right track here. You absolutely want to get to know and to fear a person who can give you light. I like this. You know, light is some pretty interesting stuff. You know that? We don't think much about it. We look at the sunshine and we see the moon at night and we turn on these things called electric lights. They're pretty bright. But what is light? Well, you know, I never stopped to even think about it. Can you tell me what light is? Yeah, well, let's talk about light for a minute. How does it get from the bulb down to the floor? How does it get there? I don't know. But it does. Let's change for a second. What about sound? I'm talking. How does sound from my mouth get to your ear? Now, getting from your ear to somewhere else is maybe another question. But how does sound come from my mouth to your ear? You ever stop to think about that? Well, this is pretty hard stuff. Sunday school's not supposed to be this complicated. Figure out how sound goes from one place to another. But let me tell you something. A bell will make some sound, right? Ding, 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 ding. Little brass bell. And if you put that bell in a bucket, okay, and you take all the air out of that bucket, will you hear that bell ringing? That's right. It wouldn't make a sound. It wouldn't make any sound at all. So I go, oh, okay, I got it. I'm going to put a flashlight in that bucket. And I'm going to take all the air out. So you put the flashlight in this bucket, and hopefully this bucket is like clear, so you can kind of see what's going on in there. And you pull all the air out. man, this doesn't work. Look, the light, I can still see the light. The light doesn't need air to go from here to there. Wow, that's really strange. And you know, that's probably a pretty good idea that God had, because otherwise, how would the light get to us from the sun? There's no air out there. Yeah, you know, did you think about things like this? There's people who sit around all day and wonder about stuff like this. And so they go, man, there's no air out there. So it's a pretty good thing. A pretty good thing what? It's a pretty good thing that God did. Yes, a good thing that God did. Fear God. Boy, that's the person we want on our side. Is a person that may light come all the way through space where there's nothing to even bring the light. And so someone scratched their heads a little more and they said, it's a self-propagating wave. Huh, that was cool. I'm sure you all understood that. But that's what it is. Have any of you had x-rays taken? Of your chest or of your teeth? Or of a bone that got broken. Same thing. It acts like light. It kind of goes from here to there without no need for air. In fact, x-rays can go right through space and out for millions of miles. Amazing. And someone comes along and says, a wave, huh? You like this wave stuff. Well, let me tell you, It's a particle. It's like a little blob of stuff and it goes shooting through space. You go, really? How'd you figure that out? Well, you know, you can figure that out. In fact, you can buy these little things in the store. I forget what they're called. But they stand about yay tall and they're glass. And there's a little thing inside that looks like has little paddles on it. It usually has four. And on one side it's painted white and the other side is painted black. And so you stick it up, you buy it at the science center or something, you know. And you go, ah, this is pretty neat. And you take it home and you put it up in the windowsill of your house. And that little thing starts going around and around. You go, how does it go around? Come on. Nobody plugged it in. Nobody's blowing on it. It just goes round and round. And how does it know to even go around? Why doesn't it go one way, then it goes the other way? Wow. This isn't supposed to be a physics class, but you know what? There's these particles that come shooting out of the sky from the sun, and it comes all the way down and hits your little thing that you bought at the science center. And on the one side, that little particle disappears on the black side, and on the white side, it bounces off. You go, how do you know that? Well, because it's going round and round. What else is going to make it go round and round? Yeah, because when it bounces off, it's like it gets hit twice. Bam! By that little piece of light particle that came from the sun way out there 8 minutes ago, got released from the sun, hit my little thing on the windowsill, and it made it go round, round, round. Who invented all this stuff? God did. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yes, absolutely. That's the person that we want to fear. Someone that could do things so incredible like that. And so, you know, along comes someone else and says, you know, you talk about waves. Who did make the waves that swim? Okay. And you talk about particles, and someone comes along and says, yeah, you all missed it. That light stuff is made out of little fibers, little stringy things. And you go, yeah, right, you show me the little stringy things. It can't. It's way too small. It's like maybe, let's see, 20 times smaller than, no, more than that. It's humongously times smaller than even those little particles that we're talking about. He goes, strings? You mean when I stand outside and being hit by a bunch of strings? And you know, that's right. At least that's what they think so far. So you'd be hit by a wave, being hit by a particle, and you'd be hit by a bunch of strings when you stand out in the sunshine. Who made all of that? Isn't God amazing? Isn't He wonderful? He is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. You know, we are so impressed by things like microphones. We like this kind of stuff. Electronics. And it's all part of a result of something that we call scientific inquiry. Oh, bless my soul. Where's this guy coming up with all these words? It means that you're interested in finding out how things work. And you know what? The people who really got going on that were people who feared God. And here's what they said to themselves, and they wrote it down, and they said, you know what? There is a God. And this God has done wonderful things. And not only that, but this God does things sensible. He does sensible stuff. And if He does sensible things, then if I look close enough, I can figure out I can figure out some of the things that God has done. Isn't that neat? Oh. And that started our great scientific and technological revolutions in the world. It was from Christians who feared God. There was a man who's my little hero. His name is George Washington Carver. Yes. George Washington Carver. And he had to do something with peanuts. Peanuts. Yeah, you know, eat those peanuts. Open up the jar. Well, you know, those peanuts come from a plant. Yeah. And he thought it'd be a great idea to plant lots of peanuts to help the soil. Smart man. Was he such a smart man, or did he have a good God? Yeah. And so someone came to him and says, look, Mr. Carver, we got to do something more with these peanuts. People are just getting tired of eating them. We're growing these things. Yeah, it's helping our land, but we're just throwing them away. And we're losing money. He says, I'll just go talk to God about that. So he got a loan. I assume he wrote this down, or else people wouldn't know. He got alone and he prayed. And he said, God, You're the one who made the peanut. Now You tell me what it can be used for. You tell me what it can be used for. This was a man who feared God. Yes. What can it be used for? And he got out of his little... He was a very humble man, and he got out of his little laboratory there, and he got to work, and he got 300 uses for peanuts. 300. He feared God. Fear God. Yes. Isn't that neat? Well, you know, God made the atmosphere, and He made the water too. Isn't it fun? We like when the wind blows. It feels kind of neat. And we like it when it brings the snow sometimes. And we like the water. We like to swim in it. And of course, we all love to take baths and showers. But water is fun. But isn't water a little bit different? Wouldn't you like to get... You can do the snowballs, but that's kind of a solid thing. But wouldn't you like to go to a lake and get up a handful of water and form it like this? Wouldn't that be neat? And then you'd be able to throw it, a blob of water. That would be, you'd like that, right? It doesn't work that way, though, does it? Now, you pick up water and it just runs all over the place. How about if you could catch air? Here's air. You go, oh, there's nothing in front of you. Yeah, there's stuff in front of me. There's air, so let's catch it. You can't do that. It just runs out. You go, runs out? You can't see it. No, but it's still there. And so there's things that we call fluids. They just move. They don't have a set shape. Stuff like that. And you can't play with it like you might play with a baseball. But God made those things too. He made the water. He made the air. He made all the slippery things and all the little slimy things that move all around, the orange juice and the grape juice. God made all that. Do you know Him? Do you fear that wonderful person that made things like air and water? How about when He made the dry ground appear? On the third day, yes, something solid, but He also put on that dry ground, He put living things, plants, animals, and trees. I said living things. I'm not sure that the Bible ever calls plants living. I need to look that up. I think He only calls animals living. But somebody can check that for me. If I don't beat you to it first. But He put all these neat things. Does God have a reason for doing all of this? Oh, I'll say He does. So that we stop and we think and we'll fear the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And better than that, we have a problem. Better than that, we have a problem? Okay. We have a problem, but see, God has a solution. We have a problem called sin. And we'd like to have things that are solid. But you know what? Sin is slippery stuff. And when I think of those things that grew on that third day, I think of a tree of life that God brought into this world so that you could be saved. The judgment of God's wrath fell on Jesus Christ so that you can have life. Life! When you read about the first 6 days of creation, you think of life and everything that God did for you and for me. And we think of what Jesus has done. Do you know Jesus? Fear God. Fear God. On day one, there was light. Where did that light come from? Because on day four, you get light again, but it comes from a sun and a moon and stars. Well, wait a minute. How did you get light on day one if there were no sun, moon, and stars yet in place? Boy, you're asking some tough questions here. You know that God is light. In fact, there's another verse that says the Lamb is the light thereof. Yes, light comes from God. Do you like light? Light is wonderful. Now, I know it's been kind of hot these couple days, but yeah, you see a whole row of fans going here. And that's the fault of light, sorry. But, you know, be glad that you're warm because if the light turned off, the sun shut down, you'd be pretty cold. Like, you wouldn't exist. So we're thankful for light because it warms us up. We're thankful for light because we can see where we're going. Do we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that Son of Righteousness? Do we think of Him when we think of the light from the sun? Yes. He's a wonderful Creator, a wonderful God. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And He kept going and He filled the air and the water. He filled them with animals, fish and birds, things that fly and things that have fins. All these things that can move through these liquids and fluids. Where we can't pick up this water and use it for a baseball, but the fish go in this water and they swim. It's their home. God did that. Fear God. What a wonderful God we have. Wonderful. And then along comes day 6. And God says, we've got this solid ground. Let's put wonderful things on this solid ground. And so He made animals. And He made humans. Day 6. You know, the Scripture mentions that the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are going to praise Him. Are going to praise Him. But you know, when we think of the animals and the humans, we might want to jump ahead and think about the Lord Jesus, because He came as a human being. Yeah, Jesus is God. He's the one that did all these wonderful 6 days of creation, and He came as a person right into this creation that He made. And He even calls Himself the Son of Man. What an astonishing thing that Jesus would become a person just like you so that He could talk to you and you'd recognize Him. Isn't that nice? How tall was Jesus? Maybe 5 feet 10 inches? A little shorter than what we are nowadays? He was so normal that when He walked in a crowd, they didn't even recognize Him. Because He wanted to spend time with you. And we think that one who not only was a man, but He was given another name. A name of an animal. The Lamb. And there was a Lamb that was slain. Have in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us. Fear God. Don't waste your time fearing other things in this world. It's useless. Fear the Lord. And of course, the Lord Jesus will bring us into rest. If you know the fear of the Lord, if that is the wonderful person who you will fear in your life, He will give you rest. And I'm just going to read a verse of a man, one verse. And there was a man that it seemed like he didn't fear God very well, but he said the right thing. And his name is Jonah. And he says this, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. I certainly trust that all of us in this room can say that same verse, that we fear the one who made the sea and the dry land. The wonderful God of creation who loves us, died for us, gives us a brand new life. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we just do thank Thee for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who's also the Lamb of God, who took our sins on Himself so that we could live. We pray that we might truly fear Thee, Lord Jesus, and have that entrance into wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Build us, Lord Jesus, that we might grow up to be men and women of God, and we'll fear nothing else. In Jesus' name we give thanks.